Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
We have mentioned a few of our values today, and one of our values is community. And I just want to say thank you for how you make room for people that are coming and going. It's very obvious that so many are just opening up their hearts every week to those that are around, neighbors and such. Beautiful examples. Last Sunday, our church picnic. Just so nice to be introduced to some new people from Living Waters and to see just our community just interacting with one another. It's just beautiful. And so thank you for what you do, that small thing that you do every day, those natural things that you do to make room for people and to acknowledge people. It's so good, and we're so blessed because of your love for one another. Our barbecue's coming up in August, and again, a wonderful opportunity for us just to be together, and we'll be talking more about that later. But as Kirsten has said, today we begin a summer series. It's called A Full Orchard, and this is going to be good. This is going to be so fun to take a look at this good subject of life in the Spirit. Scripture teaches that when we place our trust in Jesus and become alive to his Spirit's work in us, a very deep cultivation begins in a person's heart and life. A cultivation, if tended to, will produce health, it will produce well-being, and perhaps even an orchard, if you appreciate the metaphor, an orchard of good fruit. And we want to take a look at that this summer. This past 6 weeks, I've taken on a small home project, and I'm not really that guy at all. Some of you know people that are. I'm not that guy. But I become a little obsessed with our grass. And again, if we do not have much grass, but the little bit of place where grass should be, it hasn't been for 16 years. And so little bit of a boiling point a few weeks ago, and said, how hard can this be? We should address the grass issue in the Soames home. And so I did what many of you have done so long ago. I ordered a big load of soil, and I brought it in, and I start huffing with it and moving it all around with borrowed equipment. And then planted some seed, you know, that little seed stuff you put out there, and I spread it, and I planted it, and I watered it regularly. And to be honest, I have enough of my dad in me that every day, the first thing I did in the morning was to open up the blinds and look to see how the progress was. You've been there. Some of you have been there. And wondering if this would ever work, because it's soil, and there's lots of soil. Will there ever be grass? I'm watering, and I'm thinking positive thoughts and such. And the seeds did germinate, and that's a technical term for some of you out there. And they rooted, technical term maybe not, less. And it's grown up into quite a fascinating patch of grass, which I have a picture. Look at my grass. I have grass. Now there's the other parts of the yard, but that's the part that I wanted to show you right there. These seeds are, they've transformed. You've ever held a grass seed? And with, you know, skepticism, you say, well, will they grow? Will it become something else? Because if we scatter it, it's not grass. It has the potential to become luscious grass. And with the right conditions, in the last 6 weeks, we've gone from soil to seeding to that. And way to go, Mother Nature. Scripture would open up a conversation, and perhaps we're doing that today, opening up a conversation that perhaps fruit from Christ's work in our lives is to be fascinating. It is to be miraculous. This idea of Christ at work within us, doing a miraculous work to create things that we really can't create ourselves. A few thoughts as we move along and further introduce this subject. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here." When someone becomes a Christian, and there are Christians in this room, we are made new. A person that the world had never seen before is now beginning to see. A person that the world has never heard from, has never seen, has never benefited from. For Christ begins a supernatural work to create in us things that we can't create ourselves, as good as people we are. And so the Christian discipleship journey is being invited into the joy and the excitement and surprise of all these new things that Christ, through the work of His Spirit, has for us. What the Holy Spirit gives us through salvation is meant to grow us up. And that's a miraculous, crazy thought. To think over long periods of time, regardless of our age, we are positioned and carry the possibilities of growing up into something that we would never be able to grow ourselves. We learn in Scripture that good fruit, lasting fruit, is cultivated by a work of the Holy Spirit. And so as children of God, we are to tend to this orchard or the potential or possibilities of this orchard so that our Holy Spirit may yield His harvest through our orchard of our lives and hearts. So these very bodies of ours can be thought of perhaps as orchards, perhaps as greenhouses, whatever your chosen metaphor, created to yield fruit that is healthy and helpful for God's work in our lives and God's work in this world. So during this summer, in this series, we'll hear from Luke and Kirsten and Rick Watts and Kyle, and we're going to be asking a few questions. Who is the Holy Spirit, this gardener? What does it mean as a person, family, and as a community to be filled by Holy Spirit and have a heart and life cultivated by Holy Spirit? And finally, what kind of an orchard can we imagine is even possible as we think about where we are now and where we are being led by Holy Spirit? So let's further introduce this for the few minutes we have. Billy Graham has said, "It's impossible to understand the Bible, Christian living, the structure of the church, or our own relationship with God without understanding Holy Spirit." So who is Holy Spirit? Well, we would consider in the New Testament, Old and New Testament, three persons in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit. We do not worship multiple gods. Holy Spirit is God. Holy Spirit is not in it. Holy Spirit is described as person. And the Bible says that Holy Spirit is not a thing, not a theme, not a special emphasis. Holy Spirit is a someone at work within Christian life living. Ephesians 1:13 in the New Living Translation says, "And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit." As a Christian, now think back of that moment when you became that, you know, you sang Happy Day for the first time. Happy Day, when you washed my sins away. Remember your day. And in that day, perhaps there was a happiness washed from sin, of course, but perhaps accompanying that is an appreciation for the giving of the Holy Spirit to you. Wow, what a beautiful moment of relationship. The moment we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit immediately comes to dwell within us. Now, in Christian circles, there can be a lack of trust in the Holy Spirit, perhaps because of a lack of understanding, perhaps of of experiences that has given perhaps someone a bit of a concern or a lack of appreciation. Maybe something hasn't sit well. And as a result of that, there's maybe a bit of a caution. Well, we would do well to answer some of these questions. And first, again, I encourage you to identify your questions. And again, perhaps throughout the summer and for the rest of your life, we can move along trying to discover all that Christ has for us through Holy Spirit. So we would do well to answer some maybe questions that bring a lack of clarity. Let me share a few. There's not a person anywhere who can be a Christian without Holy Spirit. You cannot be a Christian without Holy Spirit. There's not a person who can follow Christ without the help of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not partial. In other words, we cannot necessarily get closer to Holy Spirit in some ways. And furthermore, our pathway for growing is not a matter of getting more of Holy Spirit. It's about of Holy Spirit having more of us. And there's a bit more than nuances there. Perhaps our regular prayer as people, as a community, should be that of surrendering to Holy Spirit rather than asking Holy Spirit to come. We could build a case, of course, a scriptural case, that as the Holy Spirit dwells within you, that we don't really need to pray, come Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is already here. Perhaps the appropriate prayer is we surrender to your presence and we open ourselves up further to your presence, which is already here. Do you sense the life and love of Jesus today? More than a healthy emotion, what moves along with the presence of Holy Spirit is a healthy emotion. So we celebrate his work today. All Christians share the same union and the same fellowship. One person does not oddly have more of Holy Spirit than someone else. However, the difference to be noted is how much we acknowledge and surrender to Holy Spirit. So the differences in a room is not, oh, these people over here have more than people over here. Again, not referencing judgment or impartiality, but the issue really for all of us is to be curious on how surrendered are we to relationship and to the activity of Holy Spirit within our lives. So as we zoom out again, we ask ourselves a question: why is receiving Holy Spirit such a priority for the Trinity? Why is our relationship Holy Spirit to be talked about and very, very important? Well, we've been learning recently that from day one, creation, Garden of Eden, all the way to June 29, 2025, which is today's date, God's desire has been to witness to his people, to have a positive witness and influence. And we note that. You can do a bit of a track through Scripture. Start in the beginning. Make your way to today. God has wanted and been willing to be with his people. The last month or so, we've considered from the Old Testament this movable tabernacle. Instruction by God, build a tabernacle. I want to be dwelling with you in the center. As you move the tabernacle. I will move and be with you. The permanent construction of the temple with this long message, underlying message, I will be with you. I will be permanently with you. And of course, Christ coming, Jesus, God's Son, filled with Holy Spirit, saying, I want to be with you. I want you to know me. I want you to hear me. I want you to touch me. I want you to be blessed by me. I want to sit with you. I want you to know me. We've noted the last few weeks prior to Jesus' ascension. He said, I'm ascending to my Father in heaven. I would want for you to witness the Holy Spirit presence in your life. Head to Jerusalem and tarry until you are witnessed to by Holy Spirit. And that story unfolds in Acts chapter 2. So we see in Scripture, there is this heart for God for us. God has so much for us, overruling and overriding perhaps what God wants from us is his generosity for what he wants for us. Now, hear that. That's the gospel, what God has for us. And we talk quite a bit about that around here. So we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, the disciples witness a literal infilling of Holy Spirit. They witnessed that. They surrendered and they witnessed. They didn't have a fancy prayer. You know, they just surrendered. And that witness came to them. Paul highlights this of a pouring out. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And of course, now we see that Christians, again, become, and we've looked at this the last few weeks, this tabernacle, Old Testament, tabernacle, temple, Christ. Now we are the tabernacle of God. We are these temples. And Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are the temples of Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? The unfortunate is that many people have not completely appreciated how God has been witnessing to you from your very beginning and is still trying to witness to you through people and through his up close and personal presence that he wants to have you witness an infilling of. This infilling, of course, did not end in the New and Old Testament, nor did it end with the early church. The infilling has been happening in hearts and lives for thousands of years on all the continents on earth. And how encouraging to think that the same Holy Spirit that the disciples received thousands of years ago is the same Holy Spirit dwelling in Christian people today. There's not a new Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul, Peter, I'm reading Acts right now and second reading. And wow, they were men and women that were witnessed to by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, like, wow, things that were happening. It's the same Holy Spirit. Wow. I love the continuity. I love that kind of removes confusion. And it just says the body of Christ is the body of Christ that Christ has his hand upon. Another important thing to appreciate about God's interest and his will as he wants to witness to us through his character. His character. A lot of times we think about Holy Spirit and we quickly move into this thoughts about a supernatural narrative and we kind of lean over here. But when you dig deeply, and as we will this summer, we're reminded that it's God's character that is on full display when we think about Holy Spirit's work in people's lives. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, our theme verse for this summer, or one of them, says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit is what Holy Spirit wants us to witness. We've often thought about, to us and through us, but let's not run too fast past to us. Of course, it's through us, but let's appreciate to us. The Holy Spirit wants to witness this fruit to us. To us. Because this is his fruit. This is his ministry. This is God's character on full display for us and to us. And wow, to appreciate the Holy Spirit witnessing to us by his love and by his peace and by his forbearance and his kindness and his goodness and his faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I invite you to join in an exercise this coming week to take perhaps, if you can, but take your Bible and in a time of prayer, say, Holy Spirit, thank you for witnessing to me today by the fruit of your love. And just sit in his love. Holy Spirit, I invite you this week to witness to me your peace. And see what happens. Do the same for forbearance, or thank you for your restraint. Thank you for your kindness. Holy Spirit, thank you for your kindness. Wow. See what happens. Thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, thank you for your faithfulness to me. Thank you for your gentleness. Thank you for your self-control and how you minister to me. This is what we're going to be taking a closer look at this summer. And may our prayer this summer be one of surrender to receive the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit and all the beautiful ways he wants to witness to you this year in the summer. That excites me. Man, all the journey and all the experience and all the story that's going to come as Holy Spirit witnesses to you this next few weeks. So how do we position ourselves for all this amazing, all these amazing things that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us or wants for us? Couple points. Number one, by allowing Holy Spirit or our gardener to convict us and guide us. Couple words here. John 16:8 says, when he comes, referring to Holy Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So our cultivation of this relationship or this cultivation as an orchard for fruit pleasing to him, it begins with an experience sometimes of the opposite. Sometimes you know the real thing by experiencing the opposite of the real thing. There'll be many times that we will be invited by Holy Spirit to a new way of thinking and a new way to do things. And we have to be open to that. Even though my lawn is so new, I actually saw a daring weed grow up already. And I bolted out there and I dug it and I firmly and fiercely removed that ugly weed from the beautiful grass that you saw already. I was quick to uproot it because I saw the contrast. And Holy Spirit helps us see contrast. I know there was a weed because I saw healthy grass, right? And so as we grow in relationship and as he cultivates his life within us, be open to those times when Holy Spirit will convict us and guide us to a better way to do things. During those moments, we sin and we feel conviction and shame and discouragement. Perhaps our most appropriate response should be, thank you, Holy Spirit, because today I am understanding, I'm sensing, and I'm aware of my relationship with you because you're pointing me in a different direction, and I feel and sense the contrast of the way things should be and the way things presently are. So actually, when we feel conviction of the Holy Spirit as he ministers his fruit to us, then we should actually recognize that as something that's very healthy. There's a healthy spirituality when we are regularly feeling conviction by Holy Spirit. It's not a sign that things are wrong, necessarily. And that's not a permission not to pull the weed up or to change our way of thinking and doing, but that conviction is actually a sign of spiritual health, right? Yes? So we welcome it. It helps us identify. It helps us put a name on something. It helps us. It just helps us. Years ago, our friends hosted a karaoke party for a milestone birthday. It was a lot of fun. Anybody been to a karaoke? It's kind of, yeah, yeah. Many were, you know, quick to take their place to sing and to dance and to show off their knowledge of some of their favorite and popular songs. Late adopter here, it took me a long time to get up there, a lot of persuasion. I remember selecting my song back in the 80s, there you go. And as they began to sing in front of friends, critics, friends, I, uh, I was stiff. I was awkward. You can imagine. I'm not on the worship team for a reason. I was self-conscious. It was me, my mic. I was alone. Everybody was looking. I got through the first verse. I only knew the chorus. And as I realized the crowd was wanting more, I stepped into the second verse and I actually closed my eyes to kind of get into the rock and roll theme here. And as my eyes were closed and I had never noticed the graphic words in the second verse. Honestly, I don't know, singing it for 30 years, but I've never noticed the second verse, like the fourth line kind of thing going, oh my, I just said that? And true story, eyes open. I opened my eyes, and the person who was having the party, their mother, was sitting right there and just kind of mugging me, right, going, really? You said that? And you said that here? You really did? I heard you. Her presence created a conviction. Right? It did. It really did. When we are in relationship with Holy Spirit, this relationship becomes important, right? And so we begin to naturally hear ourselves, think about things through perhaps because of this beautiful relationship of Holy Spirit's presence and a consciousness of His presence, we begin to think and hear and say things perhaps entirely different. And that probably is a very, very good thing because Holy Spirit leads us to holy living, right? We become more aware of what we're doing and saying. Holy Spirit will tell us that certain behavior is not His will. He'll lead us beyond bad things and good things to the greatest things. Yeah, it's time we get to the greatest things. Yeah, not just good things, the greatest things. Greater love has been poured out upon us. And secondly and finally, how do we cultivate? It's through the Holy Spirit cultivating life. He will guide us away from things and toward things. John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. So Holy Spirit convicts us. And then He doesn't leave us there. He guides us into a better way, a more truthful way. So Holy Spirit convicts. We stop doing one thing, and then He guides us, so we start doing another thing. And that's where the empowerment comes, to do something a new way. And that's the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Christian life and living is all about a surrendered and prioritized relationship with Holy Spirit, allowing Him to change and create something new. And that's just absolutely awesome. Ephesians 4:30 says, so do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We learn from this verse that Holy Spirit experiences grief. Ultimately, this speaks about a relationship that Holy Spirit wants to have. We typically grieve when we have something taken away or because of a loss. Therefore, we can appreciate that Holy Spirit grieves when an opportunity to witness to us is taken away. Holy Spirit grieves when an opportunity to give us something or guide us is lost. So let's open ourselves to what Holy Spirit has for us, as He wants to witness to us, and as He wants to give us things that are best for us. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. We can so easily see Holy Spirit's passion and priority to give us all we need for life and godliness. Ephesians says it this way, according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Holy Spirit grounds us in a better way, and then He fills us to a fullness to experience all that He has for us. It's actually supernatural. So this summer, friends, today, friends, let's allow God through the work of Holy Spirit to be supernatural. That's a good word for us as we appreciate love and as we appreciate how Holy Spirit is living within us and leading us and helping us learn. Our relationship with Holy Spirit begins at salvation. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." How do we begin this relationship or this next relationship with God? It's through salvation. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision to become a follower of Holy Spirit, a follower of Jesus, a follower of God, this would be a good day to do that, to open your heart to Holy Spirit and say, I invite you to come. Thank you for the work of the cross. Thank you that sins can be forgiven and new life I'm invited to experience because of your good work. Let's ask Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us, to reveal himself to us. And may this be a good summer of surrender, and see where this journey takes us, because your journey is going to be thrilling as we open our hearts a bit more widely to that work of the Spirit. Let's stand together, can we, as we close in prayer? I invite you to quiet yourself. Maybe that would be most easy if eyes were closed, but whatever it would be for you. I'm gonna pray in just a moment, but let's benefit from perhaps a quiet moment where you and I would say, Holy Spirit, I just surrender to you today. I surrender. I thank you that you dwell within me. Come into my heart and life. Thank you for Christian life and living. And I surrender, Holy Spirit, to you. I invite you to become most important to me. I surrender to your work. I surrender to your will for my life. I surrender. Minister to me that I might be a witness of your work within my life. Thank you for the fruit of your Spirit witnessing to us even right now. If you've been sensing conviction, I invite you to repent and to ask for forgiveness and to turn and walk towards what God has for you, for there's a beautiful sense of the invitation of the Lord here today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for tending to our lives today. I thank you for, Lord, we thank you for everyone in this room today and that love you have for each one of us. Thank you for good reminders in Scripture that talk about your love for us and how you have so much for us as people. And we open ourselves to your work and to your ministry today, Holy Spirit. You're so good. You're so faithful. We need you in our lives, and we surrender to that work today. May this week, this day, this week be one of stories as we witness to your work within our lives and witness to your work in this world today. May that full orchard that you have on your mind, our lives becoming, may that come to pass in that beautiful way in which your timing is perfect. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, amen. Hey friends, thanks for joining us today. Trust you have a good rest of your morning.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.